Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 11 verses 1 through 17. John chapter 11 verses 1 through 17. Now keep in mind as we study this passage, 4 days already. Just keep that in mind. 4 days already. Okay, let's begin reading. John chapter 11 verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in night, or in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. 4 days already. Now, let's review a few things in this passage, and then we're going to deal with that last statement there, 4 days already. Lazarus and Mary and Martha are brothers and sisters. And this Mary, in verse 2, that anointed the Lord with ointment, we're going to read about in John chapter 12. They lived in Bethany. Jesus was their friend, and when Mary and Martha sent word to the Lord Jesus Christ, they appealed to him in verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew that he loved Lazarus. And of course they expected him to come running to try to save his life. But Jesus said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. But he does die. As a matter of fact, he had lain in the grave 4 days already. When he described Lazarus's death, he said, He sleepeth. And they said, Well, if he sleep, he shall do well. And then he said, I'm not talking about him of taking of rest in sleep. Lazarus is dead. So they were concerned about going to Judea because, as the disciples said, the Pharisees had tried to stone him. But Jesus Christ knew what he was doing. He said, you know, there's 12 hours in the day, and we walk down there. We know, you know, see what's going on. No problem. Let's go. And you'll stumble in the nighttime, but as long as you're with the light of the world, everything's going to be okay. And it was. They didn't, any of them, die down there. Now, he gets to the end of this thing, and we find out that Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days already. And, of course, when he raises Lazarus from the dead later in the chapter, Martha says to Jesus in verse 39, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So when Jesus Christ gets the word, about the sickness in verse 4, he tarries 2 days more And then when they head down there, it's 4 days total from the time that he has been buried, from the time that he died and he was immediately buried. So, what are we going to make with this thing? If all this is for the glory of God, what was the purpose of Jesus Christ waiting 4 days? I mean, by the time that he got word, if he had gone down there directly, Lazarus had died already anyway. And if he was just going to show, I am the resurrection and the life, he could have done that by leaving the moment he heard about it in verse 4. He obviously had some reason for waiting 2 days, and that's specified in verse 6, abode 2 days still in the same place where he was, and then 4 days total time in the grave. That 2 days and that 4 days are very significant. But in order to understand that, what we're going to do is we're going to retreat from the passage. We're going to go to a completely different passage of Scripture. Then we're going to examine some types based on this other verse of Scripture. Then at the end of this lesson, we're going to come back to 4 days already and find out why 2 days in verse 6 and why 4 days in verse 17. So bear with me and keep this thing of 4 days in mind, and let's go do a little traveling through the Bible. Turn first of all with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 8. We're going to have some fun today with typology in dates. 2 Peter 3:8. The Bible says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." And the context of that statement has to do with creation. Verse 4 and verse 5. "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were," watch it, "from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished," and so forth and so on. So he takes us back to creation, and then from creation makes this statement, one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. Well, let's go back to creation and see something about these days then, okay? In Genesis chapter 1, excuse me, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We find this: on the first day, God created light in verse 3. And verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. It's interesting in the passage that we've read here that Jesus Christ made reference to the day and to the night. And that's significant. All right. On the second day, he made a firmament. And on the third day, herbs bearing seed. And on the fourth day, the sun, moon, and the stars. And on the fifth day, the creeping things and the fowls and the so forth. On the sixth day, man. And on the seventh day, he rested. How many days of creation are there? Well, there are 7 days, 6 days to create this thing. One day to rest. Now that seventh day was a day of rest. All right, now what does that compare to? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verses 5 and 8. 5 through 8. Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verses 5 through 8. "In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward spoken of another day?" Now, in the context of Hebrews chapter 3 at the end and Hebrews chapter 4, this day, this rest that he's talking about, is referencing the Jews going into the promised land of Canaan after they left Egypt. And they didn't hearken unto him, but they provoked him. It was the day of provocation. So Jesus spoke of another day, and he says, if you will hearken. Now, that other day is a day of rest. And what it has to do with is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This time period of 1,000 years spoken of in Revelation chapter 20 is the 1,000-year reign on this earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is a 1,000-year period called the millennium when we refer to it. It's a reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 of Revelation chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And that reign takes place on the earth. It's a physical reign. So it is referred to in Hebrews chapter 4 as a day of rest, and it is a 1,000-year period. Now, watch this. If you go with Bishop Usher's chronological dating of Adam, Adam was created presumably in 4004 B.C., or approximately 4000 B.C. We are now living in approximately 2000 A.D. It's actually 2003 A.D. We say that, but of course, calendars are not necessarily accurate. There have been several changes, and so we're not exactly sure. But watch this. In approximately 4000 B.C., Adam was created. That's the stuff going on there in Genesis chapter 1. Now, if each day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, then from 4000 to 3000 B.C. is a 1,000-year period equivalent to one day of creation, or the first day of creation. All right, the period from 3000 B.C. to 2000 B.C. is the second 1,000-year period equivalent to the second day of creation. And then from 2000 to 1000 B.C. is equivalent to the third day of creation, 1000 B.C. to 0 B.C. is equivalent to the fourth day of creation. There's 4,000-year period there, each day standing for 1,000 years. The fifth day then would take you from 0 to 1000 A.D., and the sixth day would take you from 1000 A.D. to 2000 A.D., approximately. Because that's the time we're in right now. Meaning, therefore, that if one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, and he dates that thing in 2 Peter from the creation, then we ought to be looking for the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ very, very soon. And that would be the seventh 1,000-year period, and it would be equivalent to Genesis chapter 2, where God had a day of rest, and it would be equivalent to the day of rest in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice some other parallels here to see these days borne out. For instance, in Psalm 19 and in Malachi chapter 4, Jesus Christ is likened to the sun. As a matter of fact, in Malachi chapter 4, he is called the Son of Righteousness. And in Psalm 19, when the heavens declare the glory of God, the sun is as a bridegroom, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Now, the sun shows up on the fourth day. So if you take what we have here in our layout, each day of creation standing for 1,000 years of human history, Jesus Christ showed up on the fourth day. At the end of the fourth day, Christ showed up. And on the fourth day, the sun was made. Also, the moon was made, and the moon is a type of the church. So it's a very interesting parallel right there with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing up there on the fourth day, paralleling this 1,000-year period, each one standing for a day of creation. Not only that, but who is created on the sixth day? Man is. Man is created on the sixth day. And if you go to Revelation chapter 13, you know that the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, shows up at the end of the sixth day, right before the beginning of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, right before his second coming. And the number of that man of sin that shows up is found in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Revelation 13, 18. That's a very unusual number. 13 is a bad number in the Bible, is a number of rebellion, and 18 is a multiple of 6, 3 times. Notice then in verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600 66, or his number is 666. The number of a man then is 6, and man is made on the sixth day, and the man of sin shows up at the end of the sixth day before the second coming or seventh day, the millennial reign of Christ. We see that man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So these are some interesting parallels that we can draw from the days of creation and the events of human history recorded in your Bible. Now let me show you something so you can put these things together. There are three other instances in the Bible that we're going to look at today, one of which being this incident with Lazarus, that show you the overlay of these thousand-year periods and occurrences within human history. You're going to learn a little bit more about the passage that you are reading, and you're going to learn a lot more about some of the things that took place in the human history. Now, first of all, turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and look at verse 6. Luke chapter 13, look at verse 6 through 10. Luke 13, 6 through 10, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, that'd be then the fourth year, that'd be one more year. Let it alone this year also till I dig about it, first of all, and dung it, second of all, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So he's going to dung it, he's going to dig about it, he's going to dug it, and he's going to cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, teaching the Jews about this. Well, this is a very interesting thing. Okay, so if each day, or in this period here, each year would stand for a thousand-year period, then what you're reading about in this parable of the fig tree is a break between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now watch. For the first 3,000 years of human history, every man did that which was it right in his own eyes. You keep reading that phrase when you go through the Bible there. A man did what was right in his own eyes. And not only that, he had to have his own faith and his own righteousness. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, what did Adam and Eve cover themselves with when they were ashamed of their nakedness? They covered themselves with fig leaves. Fig leaves, and we're talking here about a fig tree. Well, in Habakkuk 2:4, you find that faith, in fact, in the Old Testament was necessary for salvation. But he said in Habakkuk 2:4, Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Notice also in Job chapter 27 that when a man professed righteousness, Job 27, look at verse 6, he professed his own righteousness, and indeed he had to have some. Job 27, verse 6, Job said, My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. The fig tree is a picture of self-righteousness then, because Adam and Eve used it to cover their own sins. And Job talked about his righteousness, and Habakkuk talked about his faith. And so for what we're looking at here in these 4 years is this. 3,000 years, self-righteousness did not produce any fruit. Why? Because fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, meekness, temperance, goodness, and those things. So this fig tree doesn't bear any fruit. The fruit of a self-righteous fig tree doesn't bear fruit. A self-righteous man doesn't bear fruit. And for 3,000 years, it didn't bear fruit. And then the dresser said, Let me dig it. Well, Sennacherib came in on Israel in 1000 B.C., around 1000 B.C., to dig that tree. Nebuchadnezzar came in around 606 B.C. to dung the tree. And in Jesus' day, when he was looking for righteousness, the fruit of righteousness on the tree of self-righteousness among the people to whom he preached and didn't find it, he said, cut it down. And in 70 A.D., Titus came in and cut that fig tree down. In Matthew chapter 21, right before Jesus Christ went to the cross, at the end of a 4,000-year period of human history, and we're dealing with 4 years for this fig tree, Jesus Christ came up to a fig tree on his way into town. Remember that? And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon. Hadn't been for 4,000 years. But leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Why? Because the fig tree of self-righteousness cannot produce fruit. And so he said, henceforward forever, no fruit, no fruit. So Titus came and cut that tree down in 70 A.D., and John chapter 15, a verse we're going to study here in the near future, in verse 6, God said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. A branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He took it away temporarily. Now, what about the passage we're studying? Well, 2 days he waited, and then Lazarus is in the grave 4 days total. What does that stand for in this little system of 1 year, 1 day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day? What's it like? Well, I'll tell you what it pictures. What happens to Lazarus when the fourth day comes up? Jesus Christ calls him out of the grave, and he rises from the dead. There is a physical resurrection of that saint of God on the fourth day, or at the end of the fourth day. So what does it picture? Well, it pictures the physical resurrection of the nation of Israel at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus was a Jew. And Ezekiel chapter 37, we read about the Valley of Dry Bones. You've heard us study that before. And in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 12, the Lord says, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. That's what he did to Lazarus. And cause you to come up out of your graves. That's what he did to Lazarus. And bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. That happens at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's very soon. It's between the second day and the third day. It's very soon. So going back 4 days, what do we find? 4 days, we find 2000 B.C. Each day stands for 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. We found 2000 B.C. What happened around 2000 B.C.? Abraham happened. It's the beginning of the nation of Israel. In Abraham, he said in Genesis chapter 17, I will make of thee a great nation. I'll give you a land, and I'll give you seed. And the Jews are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. They start with Abraham 4,000 years ago. Well, why the break then in John chapter 11, verse 6, and John chapter 11, verse 17? Why did he wait 2 days still? Well, here's the reason. Because from Abraham to the Lord Jesus Christ is 2,000 years, the equivalent of the 2 days that Jesus Christ waited still. And the period of from Jesus Christ to the second coming is another 2 days, which represents a total then of the 4 days that Lazarus laid in the grave, and then Jesus Christ raised him and said, Lazarus, come forth, which is exactly what he's going to do to the nation of Israel. As he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked Martha, will your brother rise again? He said, thy brother shall rise again. She said, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It's a 4,000-year period from the beginning of that nation to its full resurrection and restoration at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the 2 days and the 4 days were all about. But, of course, we went sort of a circuitous way and went all the way back there to Genesis and brought these things forward to show this to you. So we'll show you one more to show you how this thing continues to run out. Look in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. And notice in Hosea, if you know anything about the book, there is a putting away of the bride in Hosea chapter 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Amy, and to your sisters, Ruma, plead with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, and neither am I her husband. When Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel, they did not accept him as their king, and they did not accept him as their Messiah. They rejected him, and so that cut him off right here, temporarily, just like this divorce in Hosea chapter 2. But notice in Hosea chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us, he hath smitten and he will bind us up. Watch it. After 2 days will he revive us, in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. We don't have time to do it now, but if you look at the latter and the former rain in your concordance, you're going to find out they always, always represent the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the withholding of rain right before the second advent always represents the tribulation. So the 2 days, after 2 days he will revive us, represents the church age. It represents the time between the rejection of Jesus Christ at his first coming and the acceptance of Jesus Christ at his second coming. They said, come and let us return to the Lord. And the third day he will raise us up. There is a literal resurrection of the Jews at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, represented by the resurrection of Lazarus in the text that we're studying. You say, really? You say, yeah, Ezekiel 37, and if you'll go back over there to Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, when the deliverer comes, all Israel is saved. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. So you see that what we saw here in those little dates was a very significant thing. The 2 days and 4 days, very significant. The resurrection that follows is very important to the nation of Israel, very important to the understanding of what was going on in John chapter 11. Well, we hope this has been a blessing to you. It's been kind of a deep doctrinal study, but one that should be of great interest to you if you like doctrine.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.